I used to have it all figured out. And then the Holy Spirit messed all that up. I used to be in control. The world says everything is a competition, so I was going to be a winner. Work hard, be the best, be in charge. I had it all put together. I also thought I had God figured out, what the Holy Spirit would and would not do. And then I was healed. Jesus wasn't lying when he said, "The physician does not come for those who are well, but for those who are sick." The Holy Spirit messes things up in all the best ways. We have this story from the book of Acts today. Peter, the apostle. Peter was hanging out with the Gentiles, telling them about Jesus. And this is a big deal because Christianity, of course it wasn't yet called Christianity, this way of Jesus was a Jewish movement. Jesus was the fulfillment of God's covenant with Israel. The movement of Jesus was for Jews. But here all that changes because the Holy Spirit is poured out upon the Gentiles too, which then leads to the Gentiles being baptized, which is also what I love about this story. See, usually the picture we have in the New Testament of baptism is that first one is baptized, then the Holy Spirit is poured out on them. Because of that, well, baptism is also one of those places that I think I know exactly how it works, so that it becomes systematic. Right? First water, then the Holy Spirit. But no, here the Holy Spirit is not allowing us to systematize it. Here the Holy Spirit comes before baptism. I love that when it comes to transforming lives, the Holy Spirit is unpredictable. When it comes to transforming lives, the Holy Spirit does what it has to. So in the next chapter, Acts chapter 11, Peter goes back to the Jewish leaders and tells them what had just happened. And remarkably, the Jewish leaders respond by basically saying, "Huh, okay, looks like the Gentiles are in. We weren't expecting that." And thankfully for us, as most of us are Gentiles, thankfully they were open to what the Holy Spirit was doing. Well, for a long time, I wasn't open. And then one night, suddenly I was. Now, some of you have heard me tell this story before in one venue or another, including our quarterly magazine, The Shield. But it is so central to who I am that I will risk telling it again here this morning. Not so many years ago, I had a friend who was walking with me and helping me to experience the depth of Jesus' love for me. It's what we call discipleship. And he was helping me experience Jesus' love not just as an intellectual proposition, which I was very comfortable with, but as a relationship. I was moving from having a faith that only engaged my head to one that also engaged my heart, and in fact, all of me. Well, one night, Christine and I were having dinner with his family and some of his friends, and they were talking about their experiences, in fact, a good many experiences, of praying for healing for others and actually seeing healing happen. And because I knew that these were not strange people, in that moment, praying for healing didn't seem like such a strange idea. In fact, healing seemed like a normal way that God would work. And what's really funny to me about this whole story is that it took a long time into this conversation that we were having before I realized they should pray for me. See, I had suffered from headaches for something like 20 years. They were migraines, they were debilitating. I was always hopped up on Tylenol and Advil and Aleve. Doctors didn't really have any other good solutions. And what had happened was that I had lived with the headaches for so long that these headaches had become a part of who I was, who I saw myself to be. These headaches had become a part of my identity. I was the guy who got headaches. And actually, they had become such a part of my identity that I didn't actually think it was something I could pray for. Until that night. Now, this story isn't actually about me. I tell you this story not to put the focus on myself. This story is about the Holy Spirit. And so I can give you details another time if you want them, but the short story is, I was healed. And leave it to the Holy Spirit that not only was I physically healed, when up until that point I'd been pretty sure that God did not work like that, the healing also took hold in ways beyond mere physical healing. Because it turns out, I had been a mess. I'd been a mess as a husband. I had been a mess as a father. I'm sure I was a mess in other ways as well. And maybe the headaches were a physical manifestation of that mess. They were definitely emblematic of it. So that when my headaches were healed, so was my life. And the healing of my life has actually been a bigger surprise to me than the healing of my headaches. See, I thought I knew what to expect from God. It turns out I didn't. Or I should say, even when I did know what to expect from God, I didn't know to expect even more. My vision of what God could and would do was too small. And because my vision of God was too small, my vision of life was too small. God's desire for you is nothing less than the life that truly is life. And the good news is that you don't need to know how God works. The disciples, who had a ringside seat to experience God's power flowing through Jesus, they often struggled to understand. So here's the thing, the invitation that Jesus extends isn't to understand. The invitation is to abide. Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Abide in my love." And this is a great place to be, abiding in God's love. And this is a great time to be there. Because God's love is certain when so much in our lives is uncertain. Right? Life is always so uncertain. And I know, too, that this is an especially uncertain season, full of one transition after another. And these transitions, these uncertainties, they stretch us. Maybe they stretch us thin as we're trying to hold it all together. In this season of graduations, we experience the bittersweetness of our kids growing up and stepping out on their own. And at the same time, as we are sending our kids out into greater independence, many of us are also recognizing in our parents' lives a loss of independence. We have been celebrating births. and we have been mourning deaths. We rejoice as new relationships come together, and we grieve as old relationships break apart. We struggle with illness and addiction, and we step into healing and newfound freedom. And this is where we live. We are buffeted in this oceans of highs and lows, and many days we just struggle to stay afloat. And it is easy to get so caught up in the uncertainty of transitions that we just keep focusing on ourselves. I know that in the uncertainty of transitions, I tend to look not for the new thing that might be revealed, because I'm so focused on the discomfort of this uncertain present. And so I miss what God is doing here in the midst of it all. And so Jesus says, abide. Because abiding in God's love pushes us out of ourselves, pushes us beyond our anxiety, and redirects our focus unto God and the power of His transforming love. And what's interesting is that as we are pushed beyond ourselves, deeper into God's love, we are actually deepened in a healthy way in our own selves, which is to say, rooted in God's love. Our identities are made secure, because our identity has everything to do with this loving relationship God has with us. Our identity is not found in all of the worldly things that so many of us look to give us our identity. But there are so many voices that we allow to tell us who we should be. And in fact, we don't just allow them, we encourage them. We say, tell us, world, tell us who we should be, tell us what success is. And then we go along with it. Seems easier to go along with the lies. You do it, and I do it. But God would rather you be driven not by feeling like you are not good enough, but rather by the truth that you are His beloved. Friends, you are God's beloved. And nothing will separate you from God's love for us in Christ Jesus. And that promise is secure. That's what it means for us to be secure. You are God's beloved. And in the security of God's love, God wants you to experience the freedom of living into the future that God has for you and for us. God's vision for our lives is so much bigger than our own vision for our lives. It is Christ's joy in us, and our joy being made complete. The invitation is to abide in God's love and to be opened to what God has for us next. Because even when we think we've got it all figured out, and even when we know we don't have it all figured out, the Holy Spirit is moving in ways that are often unexpected and so much better than we can imagine. Amen.